Welcome to Real Paranormal Activity, the network. Entertainment you'll enjoy.
You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. Ladies and gentlemen, RPA is proud to present Aaron's Horror Show with Aaron Frail.
Baby, it's time to ride the funk train. This is Funkmaster V with Wrestling with Ghosts and AsideParanormal.com. Babies, you're listening to Aaron's Horror Show.
Welcome to Aaron's Horror Show Season 2, where we talk about some movies and read some fiction. If you want to go ahead and get a hold of the show, you can always contact me at Aaron's Horror Show on Facebook or Aaron Horror Show on Twitter or Aaron's Horror Show at gmail.com. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to Aaron's Horror Show, and I'm your host, Aaron Frail. All right, I want you to stop whatever you are doing right now and go watch Carnival Row on Amazon. I'm serious. It's that good. All right, I'll wait. Okay, you could pause. I don't really need to sing a song there. But no, seriously, Carnival Row is actually some of the best TV I've seen in a very long time. I know I usually watch stuff so you don't have to. It seems like I'm having some like really good recommendations lately. I did iZombie, now Carnival Row. There are some good movies I watched this summer. Like I gotta find something bad, but you know, apparently there's just a lot of good stuff out there. Carnival Row is a really exceptional series. I really, really liked it. I can't wait until season 2 comes around. We'll see how it does, but I'm putting it up there with one of the like best series of television I've seen in a very long time. So it's really good. I mean, one thing I really enjoyed about Carnival Row, and spoilers, by the way, so I'm going to be talking about, you know, the first season here, and how much I love Stranger Things. It's right up there with Stranger Things as just far as how good it is. So, by now, if you are a long-time listener, you probably know what my tastes are, and you probably know if you're going to like something as much as I do. If everything that I've really loved, you're like, yeah, that was all right, Aaron. You'll probably think this is all right. But if you loved everything that I've really loved, then you're going to love this. So one thing I really liked about Carnival Row is that it was really well thought out. It was like Harry Potter well thought out, you know, in the sense that Harry Potter is this very vivid world that's completely thought out from beginning to end, where you have, you know, it feels like it's real. Carnival Row, the same thing. Like, even though it's completely a fantasy, it's still really, really well done. And so the kind of basic premise of Carnival Row is that, fey folk, you know, like pixies and centaurs and satyrs, the little guys with the goat feet and the horns on their head, all those are real. So they have all these like mythical creatures are real, but they kind of live in the slums of this place called the Burg, which is actually sort of Victorian era London. It's kind of the Charles Dickens kind of industrial age, where there's definitely like guns and factories and all that kind of stuff, but it's still right early on in that industrial age, where people are still using gas lamps and electricity is all the big rage and the new invention, you know, like the light bulb. Whoa, that's cool stuff in this universe. But so the idea is that all that stuff is real, and there is just a country where all the mythical beings lived, and that country got invaded by different kind of European-like powers. They don't, you know, the Burg is, I say, London or like London. It's like, you know, England, but it's not. It's called the Burg. Like, so every country in this world is completely fictional, but I'm sure there's an analog. Like, there's a country that the Berg is fighting called the Pact, and I don't know what the analog is yet, because they haven't really went into the Pact all that much in the series. They're there, there's a few characters that are of the Pact, and I'm guessing it's Russia, like, or maybe somewhere Eastern European. Not really sure where the Pact is kind of the analog to, but it's going to be something, you know. Anyways, the Pact and the Berg find this country with all the, where all the pixies live and all that kind of stuff, and they go to war over the riches and the treasure there, and you know, the Fae folk just kind of get caught up in the war, and turns out the Fae folk align themselves with the Berg, and eventually it you know, the actual series Carnival Row is set 7 years after the war is over, so the Pact won the war. They, you know, anyone who's left in that country where the Fae folk originate, they're sort of hunted down as slaves, and, you know, stuff like that. Like, you know, in the opening scene, they have all these pixies running through the forest, and you're like, why are they running? And then you realize there's this, like, net that they built in the treetops where there's a bunch of dead pixies on, so it's like some way that prevents them from flying to escape, so they're all running from packed soldiers that are just like gunning them down left and right, and one of the main characters saves this person from like a werewolf, and then right as she saves the person like the head explodes when like another soldier shoots her, so it's pretty violent and kind of brutal, but you know, not exactly watch with your 5-year-old kid kind of viewing material, definitely an adult series. It's really good. So it kind of features how the lives of all these people are intertwined. So Orlando Bloom plays this inspector for the police force that seems to have a soft spot for the Fae folk. So the Fae folk live in the Berg, but they live in a place called Carnival Row. Obviously Carnival Row, because they all look like carnival freaks to the normal humans, and you know, the humans are kind of the oppressors in this context. You know, it's a whole big metaphor for racism and stuff like that, and in this case the humans are all, you know, kind of banded together in their you know, dislike of the Fae folk, and there's a lot of ties to, of course, our what's going on right now in our political system. You know, you get a whole sense of there's these parties that are against these new immigrants that have come in that are kind of refugees, you know, from the war, and there's a whole lot of stuff going on. But anyways, the police are really generally not friends of the Fae folk in this series. Like, you know, they're always...
Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat, it's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Welcome to Codependence. What's up, guys? I'm Sierra Miller, and I want you to join me and my sister, Maya Allen, every week for the inside scoop into our sisterhood. You will be getting front row access to the good, the bad, the ugly, and the pretty. So come let your guard down with your fellow codependents as we laugh and, of course, cry our way through this crazy world. See you every Wednesday.
asking for permits or shutting down places just because they feel like it. And Orlando Bloom is a member of the police force, but it seems like he has a soft spot for fey folk, and he goes in and kind of like will stop his comrades from being mean to the fey folk. And then also he's like the only one that will investigate a murder of the fey folk, and eventually it gets to the point where there's some like Cthulhu like beast that's living under the city, and this Cthulhu beast is like killing normal like humans and fey folk alike. And in the beginning, the humans, the police just kind of ignore the murders because it's only happening to fey folk. But then it happens to like a school headmaster, and then the doctor for the police force. And so once it starts affecting the humans, then they start caring about the murder. So it's kind of that's what I mean by that. Like, there's a whole racism metaphor. It's kind of interesting that they didn't care when it was not humans that were dying, and Orlando Bloom seemed to be the only person that cared. But then when it was humans that start dying, then they start caring, and that has that. And then there's another character who is someone Orlando Bloom falls in love with in the war. So they do a flashback scene to the war where he meets a pixie and they get it on, and it's Amazon, so it's full on nudity getting it on. So I think Amazon and Netflix have like a genitalia quota that they just have to do. I think it's like, well, how many boobs you got in this series? You got any penises? All right, okay, we'll book it, So that's what I feel like they have to have a little quota for being the fact that they're not on television. They don't have any censorship, so so they of course have a full on sex scenes in a lot of the different parts of the series. And anyways, Orlando Bloom hooks up with this one pixie, and then you found out that he pretends that he's dead, but for good reasons. Like, he's in the beginning, you're wondering if he was just pretending he was dead because he just wanted to get it on with her and leave. But then you found out that he did it for a good reason, and you kind of empathize with them, and you know that they're going to be the main lovers of the series. But in the beginning, she's like holding a knife to his throat because she thinks he lied to him about being dead and left her there in this really terrible place where her country is falling apart and her people are being brutalized and all this kind of stuff. And but then eventually they find out, and this is what I think it's really great about the series. They find, like, she finds out the truth when they're both stuck in a prison cell. So eventually the investigation of the murder kind of gets to this point where they start pinning it on Orlando Bloom. And then she's also an unruly pixie because she goes around causing trouble, and she doesn't necessarily fit into human society, and eventually she joins like the equivalent of the pixie mafia, and causes trouble. And they eventually both end up in prison, and they find out they really do love each other, but they're in these prison cells, and probably one of them's gonna end up dead. And but yeah, there's other good actors in the series. There's I forget the name of this actor, but he was in Mad Men. He was one of the partners in Mad Men. He was also in The Expanse. He was one of the Belters that was like the leader of the Belter Rebellion or something. He's also in this as sort of like the statesman. They have different characters in the sense that they show what's happening on the political level, and they have these two, sons and daughters of the two major political party. They kind of take a big role, and then they have so they have kind of what's happening politically speaking, and then they have, of course, the inspector character, and then they have, the various policeman characters. They have the one that more empathizes with Orlando Bloom and kind of tips him off that the police are going to try and, kind of get him killed without a trial. And then they also have the police officer who's really a big racist and is the one that kind of wants to kill Orlando Bloom without a trial so they could wipe this whole mess behind them, And, you know, they have, you know, lots of different stuff that's happening. There's this couple that is, you know, a richer, well-to-do couple, but they run into money trouble. And then eventually this, satyr, I forget what they're called in the series, but you know, with the goat legs and the horns, like, moves in next door, and he happens to be rich, so he can afford a house in the rich area of town. But of course, since he's like a fey folk, everyone's like, oh my god, there goes the neighborhood, a fey folk moved in next door. And you know, eventually this couple that's a little bit like racist towards him kind of eventually, like, the one who seemed to be the worst of it eventually falls in love with him. And, you know, it has a bunch of interesting, like twists and turns, and there's not, you know, you expect things out of characters, but then they surprise you. Like, characters that you think are bad become good. Ones that you think are good are really bad. You know, there's a really well thought out world. I mean, the world is what I really liked about it. I felt like this was a really incredibly believable world that was just really well done. Like, you really get into it, you know, and of course there's also some scary stuff, like this Cthulhu monster thing that just, like, annihilates people and leaves, like, these little, like, bloody masses of entrails left. And so, yeah, you got, it has everything. It has romance, it has action, it has horror, it has, you know, political intrigue, you know, like there's, you know, if you're not interested in one plot line, there's probably other plot lines within the series that you're interested in. So I really can't recommend it enough. I mean, I don't want to be too much revealing the spoilers and tell you how it ends, but man, it ends in such a big way that you just can't wait for the next season. Like, the way that it ends, you're just like, okay, there's going to be a season two and it's going to be awesome. So they really, really stir the pot and really, you know, turn the screws very slowly, but also keep you engaged, really throughout the entire time. So yeah, go ahead and check out Carnival Row. It's on Amazon. It's an Amazon Prime original, and it's only 8 episodes. So, you know, for my wife and I, who, you know, I think I've already told you that binge watching for us is like watching 2 episodes in a night. We actually watched it over 3 nights. That's like binge watching. We stayed up late to a couple nights to watch like 3 episodes instead of 2. So that's how good it is. We lost sleep over this one. So anyways, Carnival Row, check it out. And thank you so much for listening. And yeah, go and check out some of the other cool stuff we got here. We have RPA on Mondays, where we have real listener stories. You got me on Tuesdays, and Terry's Mysterious Moments on Wednesdays. And don't forget the Sandman's Lullaby that comes in intermittently with some cool interviews about dreams. And also, don't forget all the movies and or all the shows, all the TV shows that come through on the feed. And you got it all. One podcast to subscribe to and lots of stuff to listen to and watch. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening, and have a good night.